deep concerns about the impact of a no-deal Brexit. That's the warning from the head of the civil service in Northern Ireland. Speaking in Brussels yesterday, David Stirling said some agri-food firms here could find it impossible to continue trading if they face tariffs.
We have deep concerns about the risk that no deal is agreed and there would be a chaotic exit from the EU. Under such a scenario, costs for our businesses could significantly increase or create what might just be impossible for many firms, particularly in our agri-food supply chains.
Well, impossible for many firms. This is about jobs. This is about the livelihood of people in our community. Declan Billington is CEO of animal feed firm Thompson's and sits on the board of Northern Ireland's Food and Drink Association. Morning to you, Declan.
Good morning.
Morning. So the most senior civil servant who we have in Northern Ireland, David Stirling, he's at the very top. He's worried. Are you?
Yes. Anyone in our industry is very worried. I think that he only touched the tip of the iceberg about what his concerns are.
Well, maybe you can elaborate for me. Spell it out to me what your concerns are and those of your members, Declan.
On a hard Brexit, it basically means we wake up in the morning of the day after we leave Europe and European tariff walls are in place. That basically means that for a quarter of the business of Northern Ireland, that's 25% of our business, we're facing levies on the goods that we sell into Europe. So if you're selling milk across the border, there's a 15p a litre levy on that. That's half the milk price the farmer gets at the moment. Levies can be as much as 50 or 60% on beef products. So straight away we find in a business that's making about 3% margin, you simply cannot trade into Europe if you're facing those levies. It becomes somewhat more complicated because, you know, 75% of our market is the UK, but the UK does not take the whole of the animal, so the hides, the offal, and bits that are left over that the consumer doesn't consume a lot of needs to find a market, and that market is often Europe. Now we'll have to find other markets around the world, but we have to do that overnight because we can't afford the levies on the goods that are left over. So it'll drive down the overall value of the animal and challenge the ability to produce.
Sorry, I'm sorry that I'm so naive about this, but why do you have to do it overnight? Why can you not start the planning for that now?
Well, the answer to that is 2 years ago we produced a document that said we needed to de-risk Brexit, and for that we needed the support of government to develop alternative markets for us. It's no good arriving at the door of China and saying, I've got some products. The vets in China will want to be absolutely sure what comes out of Northern Ireland is of a high standard. So straight away, government needs to convince countries that the regulatory system that assures quality is robust.
But why can't that be being done now?
That's a good question, and it's one we asked a year ago and 2 years ago.
So are you serious?
Yes. Yeah. If you go back to the NIFTA report, 2016, you will say we need to diversify to manage the risk, and that requires investment in opening alternative markets. But even if you were to do that, Stephen, there's still another problem. Every product rolling out of Northern Ireland has an EC stamp on it. So product that's currently going to America, when it arrives the day after Europe, can it have an EC stamp on it? And if it doesn't, what will the people on clearance do in America when they see a product with a different label on it than they're used to? It'll be parked to one side while someone tries to figure out, have we agreed this stuff can come in? Are we comfortable with the assurance from the government that's sending it that this is good? All of these things are managed over the normal course of a business, over the normal course of expansion. But to throw the switch and try and do something that takes years overnight, which is market access, it's just not possible.
And do you
agree? We're down to a shrinking industry with shrinking markets trying to trade.
Do you agree with David Stirling that this could essentially pull some companies down? To be precise, he has said that agri-food firms here could find it impossible to continue trading if they face tariffs. Do you think this might put some businesses out of business?
I think a lot of SMEs that trade across the border will suffer. They'll not be able to trade across the border with tariffs or with not, and therefore I don't see them having a future. The larger businesses are used to trading wider afield, but the challenge will be, even on day one or month one, will the supplies that they need coming into their factories from around Europe flow to enable them to produce their product? Yes, the livestock is here, but if you take a businesses that produce, for the sake of argument, chicken with herbs and spices. Will we get those herbs and spices? And another thing, Stephen, is will we actually have the electricity to run our factories? Because the UK government have stated that there are issues with the energy markets on the island when we leave, because a lot of energy is produced in the south to run the factories in the north. So what, you know, so there's a lot of questions about will the energy still flow. So there's just so many issues with a hard Brexit.
But we're 6 months away.
We managed, but not overnight, not in the space of 2 or 3 months.
We are 6 months away.
Yes. And actually another thing, Stephen, is that now the UK government from August are issuing technical notices about what a no deal looks like. So only now are they telling us the things we need to be planning for and thinking about.
But the DUP, the largest party in Northern Ireland, they advocated Brexit. They are supporters of Brexit. Has the DUP as a party not been helping your association and all of those companies you talk about with solutions to all of this?
Well, I listened to Sammy Wilson on the radio this morning, and he basically said that the DUP and the UK government are not arguing for a hard Brexit. They are arguing for a Brexit that works. So the view of the political of the DUP and the government in the UK is that we'll find a solution that works. This is just part and parcel of the negotiation. But with any business, you need to consider what your fallback position is if there are problems and plan for them. And the problem here is the technical notices from London telling us the things we need to plan for have only just started rolling out in the last month. And a lot of them are, you know, go and take advice from experts in importing and experts on customs clearance. And those experts are very thin on the ground.
Well, the TUV leader, Jim Allister, is listening to this. You're another big supporter of Brexit, Mr. Allister. Listen to this man. Listen to this mess. Or is he over-egging it?
He's utterly over-egging it. And I think the key was in the mission he made early in his contribution when he said that a quarter of our sales go to the Republic, but three quarters go to Great Britain. And of course, there's the choice, because the future of our economy lies in the UK single market. And yet what the EU want to do to us in their backstop is to cut us off from our biggest market, the single market of the UK, and to preserve at all costs, and they're really for political reasons, the single market on the island of Ireland, and hence through the EU, and hence keep us in the EU.
But Jim, Declan Billington sits on the board of the Northern Ireland Food and Drink Association. Why would they be over-egging it?
Let me finish the point. If Europe has its way with its backstop, then we have a border down the Irish Sea, and we have tariffs then when we seek to sell the majority of our goods into our own market in the UK. There were figures which Brussels asked for. They were published this week. How much does Northern Ireland sell to Great Britain in a year? Answer, 14 billion. How much does it sell to the Republic? Answer, 3.4 billion. So let's get some perspective. And the thing I find saddest about David Stirling's speech was that from what I read of it, and I haven't seen the full text, what I read of it, he hadn't a word of criticism to make of the EU backstop. And yet it is the EU backstop.
He's not a politician.
The greatest threat. Well, he is pretty much acting like one yesterday.
No, he's not. He's a civil servant doing the job he has to do, because there can't be a government in Northern Ireland.
If he's a civil servant doing the job he has to do, then he should be identifying, pointing out where the greatest threat to our economy is coming from. And it's coming from the EU backstop proposal, where 14 billion of our sales would be subject to restrictions going into Great Britain. And where we would be crippled.
Well, the UK government
has agreed
to the theory
from the agri-food. Your contributor from the agri-food industry should also recognise the vast scale of sales that we make to GB. Is he happy with the EU backstop? I've heard no criticism from him of it. Is he happy with those tariffs that would result? Is he happy to see us cut off from our single market?
Have you, Jim Allister, have you sold much animal feed in your time?
No, I'm not an animal feed.
All right, so you're telling...
Just as you are.
So you're telling the animal feed expert how it works?
I'm telling the animal feed expert that if he is expert in these matters, then he should be showing some expertise and concern about our sales to GB, which are by four times the sales and more that we sell to the Republic of Ireland.
Declan Billington, I've got to let you reply to this.
About that. Not a cheap.
In the December joint statement by the UK and the EU government, articles, paragraphs 47, 48 and 49, they discuss the backstop, and there's a statement that there should remain unfettered access for Northern Ireland product into the UK. That means
no
obstacle.
That's what the EU text says. The EU, when they put that into legal terms, and the backstop they're demanding is that Northern Ireland stays in the EU single market and customs union, and GB leaves it.
Well,
that's the demand, and that's what creates the border. Yes, there's a dispute about what the backstop means, but the EU legal text of the backstop...
Jim, it's too early in the morning for you to be shouting people down, so calm down one moment. Declan Billington.
I'm just stating the facts as I see it and as the industry see it. There is an undertaking in the December Accord that there would be unfettered access to the UK. We have concerns that's not good enough, that there should be no discrimination of product, that it is still UK product for a UK market, and we want more than just an assurance of unfettered access, that it is no different tomorrow than it is today. But there is a commitment in principle that there will be no regulatory barriers placed on trade from Northern Ireland.
Declan is wrong about that. Things have moved on. The EU has produced the legal text for their backstop, the one that they insist upon. And they have interpreted the December statement in manner which says Northern Ireland and only Northern Ireland must stay in the single market and the customs union, and therefore there must be an Irish Sea border. And that's what Declan needs to face up to. That's the current demand of Brussels.
Okay.
Does he condemn that? Does he condemn it with the vehemence that he condemns Brexit? Or is he happy to see our market to GB strangled?
I didn't hear him condemn Brexit.
Out of the EU.
He's trying to work out as a businessman.
Our view in the industry is quite simple. Our biggest market is the UK market. It cannot be affected, cannot be damaged. And that is our...
Hold on, Jim. Let him finish now.
I have stated that to officials in the EU when I visited them in Brussels. I've stated that to DEXA. I've stated that to the civil servants here. Number one is our UK market. We cannot have limited or restricted access in any shape or form, either legal or commercial. That's the starting point.
Declan, what about the point that Jim Allister has put here this morning, which is the majority of your concern is for the UK market, and therefore when you were talking about the problems for the other 25%, they're not that significant. Are they from a business point of view?
Let's take a look at milk. The milk went south to be made into butter and cheese that went into England. We do not have the cheese factories, and we would struggle to have the butter factories to do that. The only asset that we have that might manage that is a factory that can convert the milk to dried skimmed. The UK is 200% self-sufficient in it. Over time, we could put the assets in place, and it would be an opportunity for us to displace what's coming into the UK market. Over time, there are opportunities for us to grow our share in the UK. Over time, it would be valuable to us. But it takes time to build the assets and put them in the ground. And on a hard Brexit, we have not been given the time to do that, to realign our industry to service the UK market.
Well, can I ask Declan one question? Does he think that the EU backstop, as articulated by the EU, in other words, an Irish Sea border, is a greater threat to the Northern Ireland economy than what is often misdescribed as a hard border on the island of Ireland? Which is the greatest threat to our economy, given we sell four times
GB
what we sell to the Republic?
Why, Jim, are you ignoring...
Why stop him answering the question?
Well, he can answer the question, no problem. But isn't it interesting that you, Jim, are using the language as to what the worst Brexit is?
Sorry, I'm not using the language of what the worst Brexit is.
Yes, you are. What's the greatest threat, you're saying to him? You're not talking to Declan about what the greatest opportunity is. You're talking to him and your idea of a Brexit about what the greatest threat is. Threat greater than the other.
Well, put that if you like, but even as Declan has latterly admitted, there are opportunities with Brexit. And take that, for example, the Republic of Ireland's agri-food industry is so dependent on its sales to GB that if they self-inflict a border in the Irish Sea, then there are great opportunities, if we were allowed through it, to sell into GB.
And Declan, of course you can answer Jim's question, but Jim, what about the point that Declan was putting just now that you just glossed over, that they do not have time? in the event of a hard Brexit, they don't have time to put in place the infrastructure where people could benefit from the opportunities. Some of these businesses are going to go under, Jim.
Yeah, look, I don't defend the government in its indolence in terms of preparing for Brexit. I think they have dragged their feet, and I think part of that, it fits into the orchestrated campaign we've seen this week from government to try and bully people into accepting checkers with the threat that a no deal is the end of the world. And I think they've been, in part, seeking to construct that. But businesses operate and survive by their foresight. And I know there are businesses which have been anticipating various eventualities, one of which may be, and it's not a no-deal Brexit, it's a WTO Brexit. You know, some of the propaganda that flows from the terminology is quite staggering. We do not crash out of the EU on the 29th of March with no deal. We crash out into a WTO.
Okay, Declan Billington.
But back to my point to Declan. Yes. Does he think the threat to Northern Ireland's economy would be greater if we had a border down the Irish Sea, or, which we won't have, a border across the island of Ireland?
Okay, Declan?
I'm being asked to choose between the lesser of two evils, both of which will damage our business. And my view is we shouldn't be forced to have to choose between the lesser of two evils. We should have...
It's a cop-out.
...best of both markets.
That's a cop-out.
Well, he's giving you his answer, to be fair.
But his answer is not facing reality.
Well,
that is the choice.
You don't like it,
us.
Do you?
No, that is the choice facing us, courtesy of Brussels' current stand. They say all of Ireland must be in the single market and the customs union. Therefore, Northern Ireland must be separated from its existing single market in the UK.
That
is the Brussels position.
Why, Jim?
Now, does Declan appreciate that? Does he welcome that? And does he welcome that over the prospect of Ireland being a single market?
I just wonder, Mr. Alistair, that rather than accusing him of cop-outs and things, as an elected representative, why are you not saying to the CEO of a business in Northern Ireland which creates employment, look, I'm listening to you, your concerns are valid, you wouldn't be making them up, and you're the guy on the ground trying to make all of this work. You're one of them. Instead, it's just you in an accusatory manner telling him he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's in the food industry. He is the CEO of an animal feed firm, and you're not.
Indeed. And I understand his concerns.
Well, maybe you should have said that a little bit earlier.
I think he needs to balance them with looking at the full picture instead of a jaundiced look at one corner of the canvas.
Your MLA salary continues, doesn't it, Jim? All of these people who you're talking about, their salaries don't continue if they don't get this right.
Oh, look, when we come to the opportunities of Brexit, and this is why, of course, nationalism per se is so apoplectic about Brexit, the opportunities of Brexit is a successful, prosperous United Kingdom in which no one who's a full part of it would ever dream of wanting to leave it.
Okay.
And that's the opportunity of a prosperous
Brexit. Claire Hannah's listening to this today.
That's why nationalism is so apoplectic about Brexit, because they can see that as Brexit succeeds, then the vision of an all-Ireland will recede.
Now, Jim, you don't do apoplectic too bad yourself. SDLP MLA, Claire Hannah. Good morning to you, Claire.
Well, that was appalling, Stephen. You can just feel the confidence in politics and governance just draining away there. Your contributor came on with expertise and real-life experience of running a business. These aren't feelings or views or sectarian prejudices. These are actually facts and numbers and ultimately tax revenues and wage packets. And actually, I have found that people who run businesses are instinctively optimistic, because they do have to believe that if you invest in this product, people will buy it. But contributor and all of his industry have been desperately let down by the last 2 years of brinkmanship and ignoring their plight. And then he was badgered and demonised by Jim Alistair on your programme and forced to choose, presumably so that Jim could then demonise him as some sort of subversive nationalist or stuff. Are we? Is our economy in the type of...
Don't put words into my mouth, Claire. I did none of that.
You did, Jim. You immediately, you badgered him and you made him...
I brought his focus to the realities of what Brussels is offering.
Jim, you had 20 minutes and I sat and waited while you badgered that man. The fact is, last time I checked, no part of our economy is in good enough condition that we can say, let's just jettison a quarter of it and leave three quarters. Pick which part you want. The fact is, our businesses need unfettered access, north, south and east, west. You're the one who's placing all these binary criteria on it. It is Brexit.
No, it's your EU that's placing the barrier in east, west.
No, I think...
Your EU's backstop.
Hold on now. Let's let Claire finish.
Because I did. I listened to him ranting and raving for 15 minutes.
Okay.
I think you'll find that at present, we have free-flowing trade north, south, east, west, and indeed with the 500 million people in the EU single market. By the way, I've yet to hear what product it is we can't sell to what country. What is this trade deal that we can't do in the EU? It is the insistence on binary red lines by extreme Brexiters. No, we won't be in the single market. No, we won't be in the customs union. No, we won't have a backstop. Everybody else is trying to be open here. It is the event of Brexit and the extreme manifestation.
Do you acknowledge, Claire? Do you acknowledge, Claire, what Declan Billington said this morning, that given time, there will be opportunities because of Brexit?
Yeah, he is saying, of course, the growth, the UK market will, of course, grow if they're cut off from everybody else. There's no doubt about that, but I don't think there are as many opportunities at the moment. Declan and his colleagues can trade north, south, and east, west. Yes, he's saying, and it's the same with these. Statistical falsehoods.
So, in the long term, is Brexit better, Claire?
No,
in the long term.
Well, Stephen, it's basic numbers. If you have 1% of your trade with one client, and all your other clients go away, and you get 2%, you know, of your orders to that client, then your trade with that client has grown. You've still lost all of your other clients. You know, before Brexit and at the current time, they can trade north, south, east, west. And by the way, it's not just about, you know, blank markets and, you know, blank spreadsheets. There are consumers, for example, if you look at cheddar cheese that a lot of producers here make, they don't eat that anywhere except Britain and Ireland. You know, that's not something that you can just find a new market for. And I say again, yes, maybe we could... going east-west, grow that market. It won't ever be as good as the freedom to trade that we have here. And maybe Jim can tell me, what is the product? What trade deal, day one of Brexit, what trade deal are Northern Ireland businesses?
Well, let's have a reply.
Nobody can tell me what is the trade deal that we can't currently do.
Well, we can't do any trade deal because
Jim,
membership
what product,
of the EU...
What product,
sorry.
What product do you want to sell to another country that you can't currently do under the EU? Just name one country, one product.
Well, there are many in the agri-food industry. We have spent years trying to sell our pork to China. But the reality of EU membership is...
Sorry, Claire.
Are you saying, Jim, we don't sell pork to China?
I'm saying we do now, but it took years to get it in place.
So I think Claire's question is, name one product that we can't.
No, but that's looking at the question the wrong way round. The starting point
because
is...
Because you can't answer it, the question's wrong.
No, I can't answer it. I can't answer it. But the point is this. You cannot... Well, let me. You cannot conduct and construct a single trade deal in your own right as the United Kingdom with any country, anywhere in the world... As long as you're in the EU.
I think Claire's asked you to name one product, Jim.
Sorry,
just one.
Yes,
just one. You've said there's many. Tell us one.
The context.
Go on, give
us one. Understand the context.
Well, I understand the context you say there are many products.
And you don't want to understand it, Stephen. Are you to listen?
Jim,
you cannot
name one product.
You cannot make a trade deal with a single country anywhere in the world. Only the EU can do that for you. And part of the secret and opportunity of Brexit is to liberate the United Kingdom so that it can make its own trade deals, to sell its own agri-food produce, to sell its own manufactured goods into the rest of the world on terms agreed with other countries. It can be any product, any product.
And if we crash out, Jim...
And you can't do it at the moment.
Jim, if we crash out, do we not have to start the whole process again after Brexit?
You know, if we, as you put it, crash out, the day after... We sell
Stephen,
on WTO terms. Sorry, who do you think we, on what terms do you think we sell at the moment to the rest of the world?
Yes, go on, Claire.
Where there aren't trade deals with the EU.
On,
we sell on WTO terms.
Thank you, Jim.
That's how we sell to America.
I refuse
That's
to start shouting
to
today.
That's how we sell to all the other countries on WTO terms.
I have lots of grey hair now, and I've put it down to shouting every day of the week on this programme. Claire, go ahead.
I think for a start, he doesn't have an answer. I've been asking it for 2 years. Assume we are liberated. They can't name a single opportunity that we can't be avail of. Jim, I have listened to you shout over people for the last 20 minutes. Let somebody else have a turn. And the point is, Stephen, the propaganda...
His point is he's saying anything. He's saying nothing.
He can't name... Exactly. He can't name a product.
No, he's saying nothing can be sold.
But it can. We sell. The last time I was on with Jim, he was just telling me about the bus company and his constituency and its deals in Singapore and so on, and Brexit.
He's saying nothing can be sold, Claire, without the EU say-so.
But Jim, you're the one, and I think it's very, very important to say, the propaganda machine of Jacob Rees-Mogg and Jim Allister has pretended that WTO rules is some little feather bed that we fall into. There's no such thing. There's no off-the-shelf trading regime called WTO rules. The whole thing is based on people. There aren't, Jim. There are baseline rules, but they are based on, for example, you manning your borders. And if you go up and down with regulations, if you let some things in over some borders, some things that you will spend, UK will spend the next 20 years being sued by every
country. Wendy is in Kilray. Morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Would you like to speak to Mr. Allister?
I would love to speak to Mr. Allister.
Say good morning to him. He's a lovely man, really. Say good morning to him.
Really? Jim.
Good morning, Wendy.
I would like to know, how much do you understand about the devaluation of the pound since the referendum?
I understand. I understand that it has been the realignment of the currency has been a significant boost to our exports, and we are a trading nation who live by our exports.
Okay.
Jim, you're not answering my question. How much has the pound devalued in my pocket to go out and do my shopping today since this referendum?
It hasn't devalued in your pocket unless you're buying goods abroad.
Well, exactly. So if you're producing...
Unless you're buying from abroad.
If you're producing something and you have to buy parts from abroad, how much more expensive does it make that product?
So what? Give me some of the background, Wendy.
It works both ways. Sorry.
Are you in business, Wendy?
When you come to sell it, when you come to sell your goods abroad, they are much more saleable.
Okay.
So it's not a one-way.
No, if I'm buying a car from France.
Well, let's not speculate. Wendy, are you in business?
The price of a car to buy from France now is extortionate since the pound devalued. Now, Jim, you haven't even been able to tell me the percentage that the pound has dropped.
And tell me the point you're making, Wendy.
Yeah, the point is that the our pound and our pocket has devalued so much since this Brexit referendum. It's unreal. And politicians...
That is just nonsense.
It's not nonsense.
Currency fluctuations go up and down. You know, I remember a time. I remember a time when the pound against the US dollar was 2.40. Now it's 1.30. Fluctuations go up and down, and they work both ways.
Okay.
They help exporters.
All right, we're going to let our caller have a bit of space. Go on, Wendy.
You're talking such a load of nonsense. And just because you are on a salary for doing nothing and an index-linked pension, aren't you lucky? Because ordinary Joe blogs out there, they're counting the cost of this. And the job market is going to be counting the cost of this.
Of course,
so really,
Wendy, he's not doing nothing,
is he? Whenever you can tell the percentage that the pound has dropped in value, then I listen
15%.
To him. And obviously you're not in business.
No, he's just answered. What did you say, Jim?
I said 15%.
Exactly. 15%.
Have one of your little helpers just given you that, Jim? Or did
you
work
it out? I knew that. I'm not ignorant of these things.
Okay.
No, he listens to the radio.
I don't need little helpers.
I've already quoted it. So, anyway, Jim.
Well, my little helpers are away checking that percentage. Let's pause there. My goodness.
Because if you...
This is electric today. Look at all these people wanting to talk about Brexit. Every day of the week we could fill programmes about this. And we're trying to work out what impact it is actually going to have, for the better or worse, on business in Northern Ireland.